Okay, Tov, good morning. We are continuing. Today's daf is daf 58, daf Nun Chet. We left off at the bottom of Nun Zayin Amud Bet, of 57b. Today's class will be for the Refuah, Shalom HaBad HaKhalim, V'Khalalam. Chem Dav, Rachum HaKhan Tumshan, Rechon Mekam Rifkas, Harabon Aminiyah, Shalom HaMasarah, David Menachel, Yafa Bat Deborah, Rifka Bat Echavi, Rifka Bat Esther, Shalom HaSar, Rifa Milaya, Moshe Ben Chana, Yafa Bat Miriyahu, Yehudah Ben Yafa, Chaya, Sar, Vitzchma, Rechav Echana, Simcha Ben Melka, מרים בת יוכב את זמן מרים חנה לאדם בן נעמי יכולה לסבר תמר לסבר חנה גורג את הבא ברכת דם מייסר יצחר מנוני יעקב את הבא מלכה לישו בבנתר יום הניפה יוסף בן דברו שומש ומפנינה יוסף בן יפה דניה מדינה שמחת בן דבר פרם גדם מגד מקבד היקד ושמקדם כדדו ירנה בגלל מרים כבד לשום אנחנו מחנה מהקד בעד אסתר רב שלמה משמסי לכם דוד אריה מן רבקה דיינה שרה בת שושנה ולהבדיל דוני נשמת דוד מן אליהו מן אמין מן יצחק גדע דינה בן נפרן שלמון מן ישנה מן המתן בן דן ואז בן אברהם דינה בתענות אמר ברכה בן אברהם יושב בן אפראל להבדיל רעיון דברה בת מרים נווה
תהילה בת מרים
לדוי נשמת לדוי נשמת דווה תהילה בת מרים אוקיי, we are beginning we're already on recording אוקיי, we're already on recording מחילה we're getting started right now we are doing דף נון חד we're at the bottom of נון זיין עמוד בית 57b, we're at the first long line on 57b. Higi azman velo nis'u. If the time has arrived for them to get married, let's say for the widow, we said that the virgin, after they get engaged, she gets 12 months to prepare. The widow has 30 days. That time arrived and they still didn't get married. So we said in our Mishnah that she gets to start eating from the husband. So amar ula dvar Torah arusa bad Yisrael ochelet b'churma. According to Torah law, a Bad Yisrael who marries a Kohen, who's engaged to a Kohen, she's allowed to eat Bitruma. Shneimar, as the Pasuk says, V'Kohen ki ikne nefesh kinyan kaspo. This is a Kohen who acquires this kinyan kaspo. V'hainami kinyan kaspohu. And this is also a kinyan of his money. This is considered, his engaged wife is also considered a kinyan. So what's the reason why we don't allow it? Matam amru eina ochelet. Why do we say that a Bat Yisrael who is engaged to a Kohen is not allowed to eat Shurma? 57b at the bottom of the page. Okay, why do we say not allowed to eat shurma? Shema im zegula kos bebet avia v'tishka le'achia v'lachota. Because we're afraid that perhaps they will pour her a cup of shurma in the house of her father. Her father is Israel. Her family is all Israel. And she may by accident go and give to all of her family, and then all of the families Israel is going to eat shurma. So even though according to Torah law she's allowed to eat shurma, we say don't pour her while she's engaged because she may go to give it to her family. That's reason number one. So the Gemara asks on that. If that's the case, higiyas man velo nisu nami. So even if the time arrives for them to get married, but they didn't get married, why do we allow her to eat teruma? It should be the same reasoning. So the Gemara says, hatam duchta miyachidla. No, over there, once the time arrives for them to get married, he already sets aside for her a specific spot that she can come and get her teruma. So there's no worry that she might come and take it to her parents, to her family. So the Gemara says, ela me'ata, if that's the case, lakit kohen le Israel. If let's say you have a kohen field worker who was he's bought or leased, rented out by Israel. Lo lichul b'tirumah. That kohen should not eat tirumah. Why? Dilma atul mechal behadei. Because maybe we'd be afraid that the Israel who owns him, the family may come and eat with the kohen, and now they're eating tirumah, and Israel is not allowed to eat tirumah. So the Gemara says, hashta mididhu safulei. What? They're paying him. They're supporting him. You think they're going to go and eat from his turma? It's like you have a worker, right? Someone who works for you. You're paying them hourly. So you're giving them money for them to have livelihood. Now you're going to go and take some of their food also. We're not worried that you're going to go and take some of your worker's food.
Is there chatana?
This is a worker that they have. A worker. Okay, this is reason number one that you might feed the family. Reason number two. Rav Shmuel Barav Yehuda Amar Mishum Simpmon. He says the reason is because maybe simpmon means maybe it'll become batel. Maybe it'll become nullified. What does that mean? Person is going to marry this woman, but he doesn't know. Maybe she has some blemishes that he doesn't know about. So he's marrying her on the basis that she's clean. She doesn't have any blemishes. Then when he gets married, he sees she has blemishes. So now what happens? The kiddushin is batel. The kiddushin doesn't count. So just in case that would happen, we say don't have teruma even when you get engaged. Just in case it's a kiddushin that becomes batel.
Which kind of blemish?
If let's say it's a blemish that the husband didn't know about, then he would have said, "I didn't want to marry her with this type of blemish, that type of blemish." Okay. So the Gemara asks, "Yachi, if that's the case, נכנסה לחופה ולא נבעלה נמי. Even if they got married, but they didn't sleep together yet, where we say you're allowed to have teruma, you should say you're not allowed to have teruma. So the Gemara says, "Hatam mivdak badikla v'hadar me'ayel." Before someone marries the girl, he makes sure to check her. What does that mean? He makes sure to have the relatives go and check her to make sure there's no blemishes, there's no problems, and only then does he bring her into the chuppah. So that's why once she goes under the chuppah, she's allowed to eat teruma. So the Gemara asks, "Ela me'atav?" If that's the case, eved kohen. If you have a eved kohen shelakacho me'Israel, you have a slave of a kohen that was bought from an Israel. Lo lechul b'teruma. You should not eat teruma. Why? Mishum simon. From the same reasoning. We're at the bottom, second to last line on 57b. So from the same reasoning, a slave who's bought from an Israel should not eat teruma. Because maybe the owner sees, oh, he has blemishes. I don't want to buy this. This is a kinyan batel. The acquiring is batel. And it goes back to the Israel, and he was never really owned by a kohen. So the Gemara says, simon ba'avadim leika. We don't worry for blemishes that the kinyan will be batel by slaves. Why? De'im b'avarai, if it was blemishes on the outside of the slave, hakachazilei, you can see the blemishes on the slave if it's on his outside body. Ve'i de'gavai, but if it's on the inside, meaning you don't see the blemishes, it's covered, le'melachakabaye, you need him for work. It's not your wife, meaning someone's wife, you're going to be more specific, I don't want her to have any blemishes. But a slave, if he has blemishes under his shirt and you can't see them, what do you care about that? V'shebaseter lo yichbat lei. A person would not care about blemishes on a slave that's in private. Okay, so the Gemara says, Nimtza ganav o kuv yustus. We're flipping the amud now, and now we're on page 58.
Thank you.
Okay, so if you find the slave to be a thief or a kidnapper, he gi'o. The sale is actually valid, and the slave is owned by the buyer. He cannot go back. Meaning, oh, I didn't know that this slave was a thief. Doesn't matter. You bought him. There's no going back. So what situation would you have that when you buy the slave and then you realize, hey, this is not what I wanted, that the kinyan would be batel? So the Gemara says, my ika, what situation would you have? The Gemara says, listim mizuyayin o muhtav lemalchut. Let's say, for example, it is, let's say, a type of robber that is armed, an armed robber. You didn't necessarily, that's not so common. You didn't want to buy a slave that's an armed robber, right? If it was a regular slave that was a thief, right? So then you would say, okay, most slaves are probably thieves, so I got the worst end of the stick. But if it's a thief that's armed, you didn't think that would be the case. So maybe over there you can say your kinyan is batel. Or let's say he's muhtav lemalchut. He's a slave that is written to the government as he's a warrant for death. He's supposed to be put to death. That type of slave, you didn't want to buy that person. You didn't know he had a warrant for death. So it should be a kinyan batel. The Gemara says, no, even in those cases, hanu kala itlehu. In those cases as well, there is voice that comes out, right? When someone is a bad thief, or someone has a death warrant, everyone hears about it. So it's your fault if you buy him and you didn't hear about it. So therefore, the kinyan would not be batel by a slave. But the Gemara asks, nichti, Bain lemor or bain lemor, whichever opinion you go like, whether it's like the opinion of Ula or it's the opinion of Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, whichever opinion you go to, lo achla, she doesn't eat teruma. So what's the difference between them? My bainayu, what's the difference between the two opinions? So the Gemara says, ika bainayu, the difference would be kibel masar vehalach. If one received or is sent, masar vehalach, what do these mean? Rashi explains it. If let's say, for example, someone says, I accept upon myself that even if the woman has blemishes, I'm going to stay married to her. So we had two opinions, right? The first opinion, we're afraid of teruma, was maybe he's going to feed the family. The other opinion was no, maybe she has blemishes. Right? Maybe she'll feed the family, maybe she'll have blemishes. Two different opinions. So if you say that he takes upon himself that he's okay with the blemishes, according to the second opinion, we're not worried because he's okay with it. But according to the reason of teruma, that she might feed the family, we're still worried. That would be kibel. Then there's masar vehalach. If let's say the father is moser her, he gives her away to the shluchei abal, to the messengers of the husband. Or he sends her, shalchu shluchei av im shluchei abal. The messengers of the father went with the messengers of the husband. Then therefore, Rashi says, Leika lamecha shema tishka l'achia l'achota. We wouldn't be worried that you would feed one of the siblings truma, because they sent already the daughter away. They're nowhere near the family. Whereas we'd still be worried that maybe the woman has blemishes. So these would be the differences between the two opinions. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Rabbi Tarfon said in our Mishnah, Notnin la hakol teruma, we give her everything as teruma, and she has to do sell on her own. Amar Abaye, machloket, the machloket is bibat kohen, with the daughter of a kohen le kohen, who's marrying a kohen. Aval, bibat Yisrael le kohen, but a bat Yisrael who is marrying a kohen, divrei hakol mechetza chulin mechetza teruma. Everybody agrees that the woman is receiving half chulin and half teruma. Whereas, if Amar Abaye comes and says, Machloket ba'arusa, the Machloket is with an engaged woman. Aval ben Nisua, with a married woman, Divrei HaKol, everybody agrees, Mechetza Chulin and Mechetza Truma, she receives half Chulin and half Truma. Right, this is going back, if we go back, this is going back on our Mishnah, that we said in our Mishnah, we give her the amount of time, and then she gets to start benefiting from him. So what does she get to start benefiting from? So over here we're saying that if they're married, if they're getting married, everybody agrees, it is half Chulin and half Truma. Okay, Tanya Nami Hachi. We're at about 10 lines down the page on 58a. Tanya Nami Hachi. We have a braita just like this. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Rabbi Tarfon says, Notnin la hakol teruma. We give her everything as teruma. You don't get to give her something separate, right? Meaning we can give her, the husband who wants, the Kohen husband can give to his, the engaged woman, everything as teruma, and she has to go and sell it in order to be able to have parnasa. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva says, Mechetza chulin, mechetza teruma. Rabbi Akiva says, no, we give half chulin and we give half teruma. Let's say, for example, we'd be afraid that maybe she'd be in her tameh stages, and so she can't have teruma, so we give her some chulin as well. So the Gemara says, but medvarim amurim, when is this the case that we give her this? Bebat kohen le kohen, that's only a daughter of a kohen who is marrying a kohen. We're in the middle of the page on 58a. Aval bat Yisrael le kohen, but a bat Yisrael to a kohen, Divrei hakol mechetza chulin mechetza teruma. Everybody agrees that we do half chulin and half teruma. B'medvarim amorim, when is that the case? Be'arusa, that's only with an engaged woman. Aval b'nisua, with a married woman, divrei hakol, everyone agrees mechetza chulin mechetza teruma. That you give half chulin and half teruma. Okay?
I am in 58.
This is 59. So you have to go back one page. 58a. Okay? Rabbi Yudame Mitera Omer, Rabbi Yudame Mitera says, Notnin la shte yadot shel teruma. We give her two portions of teruma, ve'achat shel chulin. Two-thirds teruma, one-third chulin. That's his opinion. Rabbi Yudame Omer, Rabbi Yudame says, Notnin la hakol teruma. We give her everything teruma, ve'hi mocheret ve'lokechet bedamim chulin. And she has to go and find buyers who want to buy the teruma and make her money into chulin. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, kol makom shehuzkera teruma, anytime teruma is mentioned, notnin la kiflaim bechulin. So we would give her, since she can't necessarily eat it yet, we would give her double the worth of what chulin would be worth. Meaning, so if I'm giving her, let's say, I'm giving her 100 worth of teruma, so I would give her 200's worth. So that she would have double's worth, she would get double of what the worth would be if it were to be chulin. Because it's harder for her to go and sell it. She can't take the truma and just benefit from it. She has to go and find buyers who want to buy the truma, so she has a little bit of a tircha. So the Gemara says, "My benayu, what's the difference between these two opinions?" Right? We had Rabbi Yehuda and Rabban Shimon Gamliel. Rabbi Yehuda said, you give her everything as truma. Whereas Rabban Shimon Gamliel said, no, where anytime it says truma, you give her double. What's the difference between them? They're both saying you give her all teruma. So the Gemara says, Ika bainayhu tircha. The difference between them would be a tircha, the difficulty of going through a cell. If you're giving the woman double what it's really worth,
yeah.
So meaning you're giving it to her for half value, she'll have a much easier time selling it. If you're giving it to her at face value, she'll have a much more difficult time selling it, and that would be the difference between these two opinions. Next part of the daf. We're at the two dots, 10 lines from the bottom of the page, 58a. Hayavam o enoma achil b'truma. The Yavam, the brother-in-law, who's marrying the sister-in-law now, cannot feed her teruma at first. So the Gemara says, why not? My tama kinyan kaspo amarachmana. Oh, it's called kinyan kaspo, an acquiring of his money, and v'hai kinyan de achivu. This woman was an acquiring of his brother. He's marrying the brother's wife. The brother died, he's doing yibum, so that's not considered kinyan kaspo, that's kinyan of his achiv. The next part of the Mishnah we said, Asta shisha chodashim bifnei abal. If you did 6 months in front of the husband, then 6 months in front of the yavam, or the other way around, so the Gemara says, Hasha bifnei abal amart. You said a case of doing 6 months in front of the husband. So you, amart lo, you said that that doesn't work. Bifnei yavam mibaya. Do you need to even say a case of doing 6 months in front of the brother-in-law? We can learn from a kol sheken, how much more so? So the Gemara says, Zo ve'in tzarich lomar zo ketane. This is a phrase, it's a concept. Yeah, it said this, and it didn't really need to teach that, but that next lesson, but it taught it anyway, because we were teaching these type of lessons in the Mishnah. Right. So it didn't need to teach it necessarily. So then, the Zo Mishnah Rishonah. All of what we taught was the Mishnah Rishonah, but then we said the second court, the second Beit Din, later on they came and said that the woman only gets to eat Shurma after she gets married, after she goes to the Chuppah. So the Gemara says, "My Tama, what's the reason for that opinion?" Amar Ula, Ula comes and says, "Ve'itema Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda." And some say it's Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda. It's interesting. On the first Amud, on the previous Amud, we had two different opinions of how to explain. Right, if we go back, so it's very interesting. Two different opinions of how to explain why the girl who gets engaged to a Kohen, she doesn't get Terumah at first until the time passes the 12 months or the 30 days. Ula said, maybe she's going to feed to the family Terumah, and the family is Israel. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yehuda said that no, the reason is simpmon, that maybe she's going to be found with blemishes, and the husband didn't want that, so it's a kiddushin batel, and she was never really married to the Kohen. Now we're bringing an opinion of Ula, and some say it's the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yehuda, the two opinions that we brought on the previous Amud. So Mishum Simpmon, now they come and say, whichever one says, it's because of Simpmon, that maybe acquiring the Kinyan will be Batel. That really, what's the reason that we say that you can only get Truma after the Chuppah? Right. Because maybe the Kiddushin will be Batel, and they were never actually married. So therefore you need to actually go through Chuppah and get fully married for her to be able to receive Truma. So the Gemara says, Bishama le'ula kamaita. It makes sense for Ula, the Ula we taught in the previous Amud, that he said, kamaita, the first Beit Din was referring to, Shema im zegula kos bevet avia. That maybe she'll go and feed Truma to someone in her family who's Israel.
She can do it after marriage too.
Right, but after marriage, we said that once she gets through the time of when she's supposed to get married, at that point, they set a spot for her for where she receives her truma, so we're not worried that she gives it back to the family. But while she's engaged, she's still in her father's home, so she might give it to the father. That's the first court, first Beit Din. Ubatraita, the second Beit Din came and said, Mishum Simpmon. It makes sense, Ula would say, that the second Beit Din would say, maybe we're afraid that she's going to have blemishes, that Kiddushin won't count. So therefore, we only give her Terumah after she gets married. This is according to Ula. But flipping the Amud, on the next Amud, Ela, Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, according to Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, he said that the reason was Simpmon. He said the reason was maybe Kiddushin will be Batel. Yes. So Kamaita, the first Beit Din that said we give her Truma already after 12 months, Mishum Simpmon, you can say that that's because of Kiddushin Batel. Maybe we're afraid the Kiddushin will be Batel, so we only give it to her after that period of time. Ubatraita, but the second Beit Din, they're also saying Mishum Simpmon. It's also because of maybe the Kiddushin will be Batel, so we only give her Truma because of after the marriage. So the Gemara says, "My Beinayu, what's the difference between these two Beit Dins?" The first Beit Din is saying because of Batlut, maybe it's going to be nullified. And the second Beit Din is saying the same thing. So the Gemara says, "Ika Beinayu, the difference between them would be Betikat Chutz, checking the woman on the outside to make sure she doesn't have blemishes. That we said that she would go to the relatives, tell them, go and check her and make sure she doesn't have blemishes. So, Mor Savar, the first Beit Din held Betikat Chutz, Shma Betika, that checking her on the outside, just looking at her on the outside to make sure, right, she says, to ask the relatives to look and make sure she doesn't have blemishes, that counts as checking her. Right? So that, therefore they said you can even give churma during engagement. Whereas Umor Savar, the second Beit Din holds, Bedikat Chutz, that checking on the outside, having the relatives check to see if she has blemishes, Lo Shma Bedika, that would not be considered checking her for blemishes. Okay, this is the end of that part of the Gemara. We're moving over to the next Mishnah on the Amud Bet. Mishnah comes and says, if a man says, I'm going to consecrate the earnings that my wife brings in, right? There are obligations that a man is, we're going to see later on in the Masechet, that a man is obligated to his wife, and the wife is obligated for the husband. So the Mishnah over there later on says, I believe, that the wife is obligated to do mishkal, weight of 5 sla'im, 5 selas of thread warp. That's what she has to bring him. That's her obligation. So, that's her obligatory amount that she's obligated to him, that amount of money. So the Gemara says, if someone, a husband, he consecrates that earning of his wife. He says, I'm consecrating this to Hashem, to the Beit HaMikdash. What's the deen? So, Hare zo osa ve'ochelet. She can continue working and earning, and she can benefit from it herself. Her work, what her husband said is not consecrated. It's not in his belonging to do that. So the Gemara says, Hamotar. But that's only up to the extent of the 5 sela'im, the amount that she's obligated to the husband. But what about more than that? More than what she needs to earn for the relationship. So, motar, more than that, Hamotar, Rabbi Meir Omer, Hekdesh, Rabbi Meir says it is considered consecrated, and Rabbi Yochanan Asandlar Omer, Chulin. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it's not considered consecrated. Machloket, we're going to see in the Gemara. Gemara, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav, he says in the name of Rav. Yecholá isha lomar lebala. A woman can say to her husband, "Eini nizonet. I don't want to be supported from you anymore. Ve eini osa. And I'm not working anymore. I don't need to work. I'm not. I don't want to be supported. I don't need to work." So the Gemara says, "Kasavar. What is she? What do we mean over here? Kitakinu rabbanan mizone. When we establish mizonot for the woman, that the husband has to support her. Ikar. That was the initial. That was the main point. The primary point of the establishment." And then we establish the woman having to be obligated to work and give a little bit of her obligations to the husband, the earnings to the husband, mishum eva, because of, we didn't want any ill feelings that maybe, oh, the husband is supporting her, but she's not bringing anything back. So therefore we say she has to bring something back. But if the reasoning is because of support, that the husband is supporting her, then she can say, I don't want to be supported, and therefore I'm not working. It's all based on, it's contingent on the support. So harashut biyada. So therefore, v'chi amera eni nizonet. And when she says that I'm not going to be supported, ve'eni osa, and I don't want to work, harashut biyada. She has the permission to do that because she's. It's all contingent on the being supported. If she's not being supported anymore, she doesn't have to work to make those earnings. So the Gemara comes and says, okay, misayle lema misayle. No, sorry, I skipped the line. We have a contradiction. Tiknu mezonot tachat maase yadea. We established. We said this earlier on. We established mezonot for the woman for maase yadea, meaning because of the earnings that she's bringing in. That's why we established the support the husband has to give her. This is not what we're saying, though. We're saying because of the support, she gets the earnings. This is a contradiction of what we're saying. So the Gemara says, "Ema, flip it around. Tiknu maase yadea tachat mezonot." She has to bring her earnings in because of the support that he's giving her. That's really the explanation. So the Gemara says, "Lema misayle." Let's say this supports that opinion. Hamakdish maaseyede ishto. This is what our Mishnah said. Someone who consecrates the earnings of his wife, harehi osave ocheles. She can continue working and benefits from it. It's not considered hekdesh. My love, benizonet, is that not referring to a case where she is being supported and still we say the husband does not have the jurisdiction? The Gemara says, "Lo b'she'inan nizonet." We're talking about a case that she is not being supported. And that's why he doesn't have this jurisdiction. So the Gemara says, "I b'she'inan nizonet." If she is not being supported, my lememra. What is it coming to teach us? If she's not being supported, what jurisdiction does the husband have? She only has to give him the earnings because she's being supported. If she's not being supported, obviously she doesn't have to give him anything. So the Gemara says, "Afilu lemanda amar." Even according to the opinion that says, "Yachol harav lomar la'eved," that the master can say to his slave, "Aseimi ve'eniza necha," do work for me, and I don't have to support you. That's only hanemile be'eved knani. That's only a Knanite slave. The lokativ be'imach. That doesn't say imach with you, right? Aval be'eved ivri, but a Hebrew slave. Dichtiv be. It says in the pasuk, right? If you look at the pasuk, "Vayak ki yomar elecha lo etze me'imach ki ahevcha ve'et beiter lo." Kitov lo imach, because it's good for him, imach, it's good for him with you. So it says by Eved Yisrael, hey, Eved Ivri, it says imach, lo, so you're not allowed to do that. Ve'kol sheken, and how much more so? Ishto, one's own wife. Meaning, obviously, if a person is not supporting her, then obviously he has no jurisdiction over the earnings. So what's the chidush over here? So the Gemara says, seifa itzerichale. We needed this latter case in the Mishnah to teach us, motar, that the extra on top of what she's obligated, Rabbi Meir Omer Hekdesh, Rabbi Meir says it's consecrated, Rabbi Yochanan Asandla Omer Chulin, he says it's not consecrated. Upliga, and they're both arguing, and they're arguing on the Reish Lakish, the opinion of Reish Lakish. The Amar Reish Lakish, lotema ta'amad Rabbi Meir, don't say the reason of Rabbi Meir, mishum de kasavar, adam makdish davar shelo ba la'olam, that a person can sanctify, he can consecrate something that hasn't yet come into the world yet. That's not the explanation. Her earnings haven't yet come into the world yet. So he don't say that the reasoning is because a person, the adam makdish davar shelo ba la'olam, he's consecrating something that hasn't come into the world yet. Ela, what's the reason of Rabbi Meir that says that it's consecrated? Ta'amad Rabbi Meir mitoch sheyachol lekofa lemaaseh yadea. Because he can force her, lemaaseh yadea, so he can force her for her earnings, meaning the earnings belong to him. So na'aseh omer Ela Yikadshu Yadayich Leosehem. It's as if he's saying to her, your hands are now consecrated to the one who created you, meaning to Hashem. That's as if what he's saying to her. But the Gemara says, but that's not what he said. Va'al lo amar la hachi. That's not what he said to her. He said that your earnings should be consecrated, not her hands. So the Gemara says, Kevan d'shamina le'Rabbi Meir. Since Rabbi Meir says elsewhere, the Amar en adam motzid varav le'batala, that a person's words that come out of his mouth, he never says his words le'batala. Right? It's a very important concept. You should always speak and keep what you say. But a person never speaks what he says and doesn't keep. So na'asa ke'omer la ikatshu yadayich lo'oseim. It's as if he says to her that your hands are being consecrated to Hashem. What does that mean? That a person doesn't take out what his mouth says le'batala. So Rashi says, in Masechet Erechin, the Amar Ein Adam Motzi Dvarav LeBatala Ditnan, over there it says in the Mishnah, if someone is Ma'arich Pachot Mi Ben Chodesh, he takes a Ha'aracha, the value, he's giving the value over of his son under the age of 1 month. So Rabbi Meir says, no, ten damav, he has to give the money. Because a person knows, She'ein Erech LePachot Mi Ben Chodesh. A person knows there is no value for someone under 1 month old. V'gamar v'amar, and still he said it, L'shem damim, he said it to give the value of it. So therefore, in adam omer davarav batala, a person will not say his words without meaning. Rashi says, She'en adam makdish davar shelo ba le'olam, v'gamar v'amar l'shem yadayim atzman. And also a person will not sanctify something that hasn't come into the world, so therefore, it's as if he is saying that your hands, my wife's hands, should be consecrated for her creator, for Hashem. So therefore, the value of that would be consecrated to Hashem. So that's the machlokot would be, in the case of the motar, what is the value that she's not obligated to the husband. So the Gemara comes and says, V'savar Rabbi Meir, en adam makdish davar shelo ba'ol ha'olam. Side point, and Rabbi Meir holds that a person cannot consecrate something that hasn't come into the world yet. Why don't we say that's the reason? So the Gemara says, V'hatani weva b'raita, ha'omer le'ishaf, a person says to his wife, Hare ad mekudesh li, we're married, la'achar she'etgayer, after I convert, or la'achar she'etgayri, or after you convert, la'achar she'eshtacharer, after I become free, as a slave, I'm free. Lachar shetishachari, or after she becomes free. Lachar sheamut ba'alich, after your husband dies. Oh, shetamut, chas v'shalom. Oh, shetamut achotich, or after your sister dies. Oh, lachar sheachlotz lechi yevamich, or after your yevama does chalitza with you, we are considered married. Rabbi Meir omer mekudeshet. Rabbi Meir says all of these cases she considered mekudeshet. So you see, he is consecrating someone in the future for something that hasn't yet come into creation yet. The husband is still alive. How can he consecrate? How can he be mekudeshet to her if the husband is still alive? So the Gemara says, over there, you're right. Mehahi in. Over there, you have a good point that it's a source that Rabbi Meir is actually allowing you to sanctify something that hasn't come into the world yet. But I was saying, meha leka lemashmina. From our case, you can't learn out that a person can be makdish davar shelo ba'olam. Meaning in the case of, when Reish Lakish was saying, he was saying from the ruling of Rabbi Meir in our Mishnah that it says the excess earnings, the earnings above what she's obligated to the husband, in that case you cannot bring a proof to say that Ein Adam Makdish Davar Shel Ba'olam, that a person cannot sanctify something, a person cannot sanctify something that hasn't come into the world yet, he can't consecrate something that hasn't come into the world yet. Rather, Rabbi Meir's reasoning was a person, Ein Adam Motzi Dvarav Da Batala, a person doesn't say his words and let them just become Batel. Okay, we're going to stop there, we're going to have a 1 minute recap on the Daf. So we started on the Amud Bet of Nun Zayin. We spoke about the time arrives for them to get married, but they didn't get married. So Ochlad B'Churma, she eats Churma. What's the reason she's not? She, according to Torah law, she's allowed to eat Churma, Israel, once she gets engaged to the Kohen. So why not? Two reasons. Ula and Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Yehuda. Ula said, maybe she's going to feed the Churma to her family who is Israel. Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda said that no, the reason behind it, it's because of Simon, that we're afraid that maybe she'll have blemishes and the Kiddushin will be Batel, and she was never really married to the Kohen. Then we jumped, that was part number one. Part number two, we jumped on the Amud Bet. We talked about the different opinions as to when, if we give her at that point, once she reaches the 12 months or 30 days, depending on who she is, do we give her everything in Truma, or do we give her half and half? There were many different cases. Sometimes we give half and half Chulin, half Truma. Sometimes we give full Truma, and there was also a Machloket at the end. Do you give her, if you're giving her Truma, do you give her double the value so that she can sell it much easier or not? That was a Machloket. That was part number two. Part number three, we discussed the different cases in our Mishnah, and we went through and explained each case with regards to the Yavam, with regards to the Baal, going through, and then we got through another Machloket between Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda and Ula explaining how we end off that third part of the Gemara, explaining what would be the difference between their the two Beit Dins, the first Beit Din and the second Beit Din, according to Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda. And we said the difference between them would be Bedikat Chutz, checking her on the outside beforehand. That the first Beit Din says that counts as a checking from the relatives, the second Beit Din says that does not count. Then we got to the Mishnah, and the Mishnah until the end of the daf was pretty much we were talking about someone who sanctifies, he consecrates his wife's earnings that he's obligated, that she's obligated to him. Does that count as consecrating? So we said no, but if it's the extra earnings, then that does count as consecrating, and we went through the different opinions as to why that would be. Okay, we'll stop there for today. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen. 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 Amen.